Hello, party people. E3. It's E3 week. I'm Ben Reeves. This is the Game Informer show. This is normally the show where we inform you about games. This is the week where we inform you about games still, because it's E3. There's a lot of gaming news. We want to recap it this week, so we're doing some special edition podcasts, which you'll notice in the feed. So if these annoy you, we're sorry. Please skip past them. We don't want to lose subscribers, but we do want to inform you about games because we love you, and we love games more than importantly. Join with me today, I have Alex Van Aken.
Hello.
Brian Shea.
You know what? If they're annoyed at extra content, I say we shed those subscribers right now.
That's right. Get out of here. No, not you, John. Stick around. This is my first day back from vacation, and it's just jumping straight into the fire with all this gaming news.
I heard you were trapped in a tiny bottle.
That's
Alex
told me. I'm actually still trapped there, this whole room.
Oh, seems roomy.
I thought it'd be smart to sort of recap, you know, because I've been out of it because I've been in this bottle. There's been a few news this week that if you've been tuned out like I have, you might have missed. Just to recap for people, some of the big events that have been going on. Battlefield 2042 was announced earlier this week. What did you guys think of that? Anybody excited for that one?
Oh, yeah, totally. I'm a big Battlefield guy. I think I've played, you know, all of them to date. And except for I didn't play 5, but that's okay. We won't talk about that. But it looks really cool. The dynamic weather systems we were getting on PC and next-gen consoles, 128-player matches. It looks like it's getting back to that ridiculous level of Battlefield, you know, combat that is harder to obtain when you're set in, you know, World War II, World War I, like some of the previous games events. I'm glad it's back to, you know, a modern, near futuristic setting. And yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm not normally
CG trailer.
Yeah, it was basically a CG trailer. We didn't see a ton of action. I think there was maybe some
gameplay
added in there.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard to tell with trailers like that. It's like, okay, what's actual gameplay and what's just CG?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But regardless, it looks really cool. I'm not even a crazy multiplayer guy, but there was stuff in there where I'm like, a guy ejecting out of his plane and then turning around with a bazooka and shooting another.
Yeah. That's a moment pulled straight from Battlefield 3. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the YouTube trailers of that. So it's fun to see that. And then the other big thing from that trailer is tornadoes. You can weaponize tornadoes, looks like.
Yeah. I'm down. Give me all the, I guess, tools of natural destruction.
I'm going to be that one dude just not killing anybody, just flying in the tornadoes.
Fair enough. Time.
Yeah.
That's probably how I would deal with a real tornado. Just strap
on a wingsuit.
Yeah. Bring it on, Mother Nature. One of the other big things earlier in the week was Elden Ring. We finally got to see Elden Ring.
That small game.
That little small game from Software, which is always a tricky developer to mention in a sentence. Like, it's from Software. Yeah, but Elden Ring, they teamed up with George R. R. Martin. What did you guys think of the trailer? I think it looks really cool. It's very visually interesting. It's hard to tell what George R. R. Martin's contributions were at this point. But game looks good. Are you guys From fans?
I'm a pretty big From fan. I think it looks a lot like a mix between Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3. There's a little bit of an amalgamation of style there. Watching that trailer the first time, I didn't notice a lot of the open world stuff until I watched it again. And whenever they pan over like bridges, you'd see like forest in the distance, and you could kind of tell that was the entire environment and not just like a backdrop like it would be for other Souls games. So it's gonna be interesting to see how that whole world is, I don't know, laid out and how you actually traverse it. Obviously, you have your crazy flying horse. That'll get you everywhere, but yeah,
the horse was really cool looking. There was a scene in the trailer where it seems like he produces him out of a light beam or something. He just sort of like materializes underneath his crotch, and then suddenly he's riding on a horse.
That's how horses work normally.
what I'm really excited for is, and actually credit to Danny O'Dwyer, I saw him tweeting about it. But apparently, like, him and a few others, like, went through the trailer. And I guess it seems like it's heavily pulling from Celtic myth and Celtic mythology. And some key characters, like Nuada, is, like, a Celtic king, like an armless king. and that's like supposed to be the main the lady we see, or the person we see in the trailers, putting their arm back on with the red hair. And there's like a lot of like monsters that seem like they're directly pulled from like Celtic folklore and myth. So
people really like the enemies with the bells for heads. It seems like I saw a lot of people talking about that. Game, like I said, visually looks very cool. Combat looks very From Software, which is, you know, I think a good thing.
Get a giant laser sword.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, giant laser sword. And I'm curious to see how the open world works with that mechanic, like we said earlier. But yeah,
so I'm not the biggest. Cool news. I'm not the biggest From Software fan. Like the only one that I've really liked from them has been Bloodborne, but like the open world structure and like the speedier combat that looks like we have definitely is, like I'm getting kind of Shadow of the Colossus vibes from the open world, and that definitely is like an attractive thing for me. So I'm gonna keep for sure.
And you know, one last thing, I mentioned this on our reaction video with Dan Tack and Alex Stadnick, but the idea I get overwhelmed and honestly bored with a lot of open world games. I mean, I'll start plenty of them, but I'm the guy who really rarely finishes them. And I'm also the guy, like Breath of the Wild is, you know, top three favorite games of all time now, because of its more stripped down, like quaint, like it feels, that open world feels methodical and like purposeful, where instead of like, you know, go and capture that outpost and, you know, you got 24 outposts left to get the platinum trophy. Like that's not a thing with Breath of the Wild. And I feel like this game is also going to have that more stripped back. Like I don't see From Software including like climbable towers that you have to unlock the map with. You know, it seems like Shay said, like, you know, this Shadow of the Colossus-esque, you know, it is an open world, but like it's kind of empty and lonely, and I'm excited to see what they do with that. So I'm eager.
Kinda
to
like
try.
I am.
Damn.
One other thing to highlight there is it's coming out early next year, like January 21st of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
A week away from Pokemon Legends.
It's going to be a big
shots
week.
Fired. Watch out, Nintendo. And then the one other thing I wanted to highlight before we jump to Ubisoft, I think Ubisoft's going to be the big talker, but Gearbox also had a press conference. Not a lot of news came out of it. They did show off Tiny Tina's Wonderland, which was actually announced a couple days ago during Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest. This is a Borderlands spinoff. It's another looter shooter type game, but it's set in a sort of fantasy world, and it's starring Tiny Tina, who was featured in the Borderlands series. But it sounds like this is very disconnected from Borderlands in other ways. Like it's not
so. She's kind of like
really the same world, right?
She's like the DM. Like she's playing that role, and she's like has all these characters like kind of in like this adventure. It sounds like where, you know, even in the trailer, there's a role for initiative that she says. So it seems like Tiny Tina, who is this, you know, kind of you know, out of her mind 13-year-old girl, is DMing for like these people who are actually going on a real adventure with like Borderlands style weaponry, and they're going to take on the Dragon Lord, who is voiced by Will Arnett of all people. So that's kind of cool.
Good
voice. And then like there's other voice actors who are you know, they're pretty well known. There's Wanda Sykes, there's
yeah, that was wild to me. Wanda Sykes,
Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg, that's the one I was forgetting. And then of course Ashley Birch is back as Tiny Tina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an impressive voice cast, and a little bit of footage we saw. I mean, it definitely still kind of looks like it has that Gearbox, I should say Borderlands aesthetic, where it's slightly cel-shaded, which I still like. And yeah, I'm actually kind of excited, rather than having sci-fi trappings, let's go to a fantasy world. That's a fun idea.
Me too.
I'd give it a shot.
Yeah. Do you think like we'll get, I mean, obviously like Borderlands known for its billions of gun, you know, possibilities. Is that going to be the focus, you think, or do you think we'll get like melee combat, like something more like rooted in fantasy, or have they said
there are weapons similar to what we have in Borderlands, but also like fantasy inspired weapons?
Okay,
so they I think specifically mentioned broadswords, so
that's cool.
We had a new flavor of like for combat, so I'm pretty excited about that, because I will be honest, like I didn't even play Borderlands 3 because like I started and I was like, yeah, this feels kind of stale at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I love 1 and 2.
Same, yeah, I'm exact same story with me. And the spells I think will be really interesting, especially knowing Gearbox's goofiness. I think we can expect, you know, some fun. I'm sure we'll get fireballs and all that, but I'm excited to see like their twist on them.
And you can also customize your hero and like customize their class and like make them multi-class heroes and everything like that. So like there's lots of like stuff that they allow for even beyond the typical Borderlands formula, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a lot of fun with everything that they're doing there.
Sure. Are they going to be able to resist putting Claptrap into this game in some fashion?
No, it's going to be like the princess you have to rescue or something like that. Yeah. Going to have like a blonde wig.
Yeah, he'll be in there for sure. He'll just have, he'll be made out of wood or something. He just won't look like a normal.
Yeah. Everything else is the same.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that was Tiny Tina's Wonderland. And yeah, that was kind of like, I mean, there's other smaller indie games that have been announced throughout the week that look pretty cool. We're just trying to give you guys a broad overview of what's been going on this week. And then today, Ubisoft was the big presser of the day, and they announced a few things. I was kind of hoping for a bigger show, but there's a few exciting things in here, and we'll get to them in a second. They started off the show with Rainbow Six Extraction, and I know, Alex, you had checked out that game already.
Yeah, I've played a couple hours of that at a press event, and I really dig it. It's a three-person co-op shooter. They are borrowing, you know, the roster of characters from Siege with some tweaks. Not everybody, it's not a one-to-one, you know, transfer of, you know, their abilities and stuff. But if you're familiar with Siege, you'll be familiar with these characters. But if you're not a Siege person, I actually think this game is going to be right up your alley because it's much more approachable since it is co-op and you aren't fighting, you know, other players. You're kind of banding together for this Left 4 Dead style, you know, co-op shooter where you're, you know, roving from room to room, completing objectives and just trying to survive and gathering, you know, health and ammo and all that stuff. So I really dig it from what I've played.
Yeah, this was my first time seeing it during the Ubisoft Forward, and I really, really thought it looked cool. You know, I've always played Siege in groups, like with people here at Game Informer, and I've always had a blast, but it's like, I don't know, I can't really invest in another squad-based competitive shooter. I already spend so much time in Overwatch.
Yeah.
So, like, to bring on another multiplayer competitive shooter is, like, daunting at this point. But a co-op shooter that's kind of, you know, borrows some of, like, the formula from Left 4 Dead. Like, that's why I'm excited about Back 4 Blood as well. But Left 4 Dead, Rainbow Six Extraction looks like it's going to be something that I could totally sink my teeth into.
Yeah. And there's definitely still that challenge there. My favorite part is they have this, there's a couple persistent like gameplay systems, particularly like the health systems. So like if you exit a match with half health on a particular operator, that's how much health they'll have in the next mission if you choose to play as them. And like there's ways to like get that back over time, but it really feels, it's not permadeath, but I feel like they've cracked the code on like obtaining that tension that comes with permadeath without actually having a permadeath system, and it works really well in this game. But Ben, I think I interrupted you. What were you gonna say?
Yeah, this was the Rainbow Six Quarantine was announced like what in 2019? The Ubisoft announced Rainbow Six Quarantine, and people, if you wondered what happened to that, probably because we had a real life quarantine, they're like, we're gonna change the name. This is what they changed it to. But it does look cool. It's coming out September 16th, I believe, for pretty much that's everything.
So just really quickly, I've never touched Rainbow Six Siege, and I've always kind of wanted to, but it's been out for so long now. Everyone's so much better than I would be. Like, I would hit a wall immediately. And also, I kind of fly solo for multiplayer games. Mm-hmm. So having it be like being forced on a team with a bunch of people that I don't know, and then feeling bad for letting the team down is kind of a, I don't know. I would not have a great time with it, but I see. With you saying that they take the operators from Rainbow Six Siege and put them into this game, obviously with tweaks, but I see myself getting into this game and learning some of the differences between those characters and being able to take that over into Siege and like learn both games. And there's a bit of a cycle then where I can do the multiplayer side, do this cooperative shooter, and have fun with both while learning both at the same time. So
yeah, it's interesting because I mean this is jumping ahead a little bit, but they also had a Rainbow Six Siege announcement, so it seems like they're planning to continue to support Siege alongside Extraction, which is kind of interesting to see that them take the Rainbow Six brand in two different directions at the same time.
And I asked about that. I didn't get a concrete answer about, you know, I think I specifically asked like, will they, okay, if a new operator comes to Siege, are they going to come to Extraction? And it seems like they're going for more a hand-picked approach. Like, okay, if this operator comes out and they'll be a good fit for our game, then, you know, we might try them out. That seemed to be their strategy with it.
You can even have synergy events between the two games if you think about it, because like a part of Extraction is, you know, saving operators who've been captured by the enemies, and it's like, all right, well, community event, if like X number of people rescue this character, he'll be unlocked in Siege or something like that. Like, they could totally
cool.
do some sort of synergy community events that way. Or like, same thing, like if you do something with this character, like if you get enough matches with this character in Siege, they'll be playable in Extraction.
Yeah, I think that'd be really smart.
Yeah, speaking of Siege, we have a news article on the website if you want to kind of read more about it. Were there any major takeaways from that update that's coming out for Siege?
New character, I think they're named Thunderbird or something like that. There was a cool animated short, and yeah, I'd recommend go looking at that.
Yeah, that anime short was cool. I haven't played Siege, and just watching that anime was making me interested. That's how you get my attention, Ubisoft. Yes. Animation. Just like you had my attention yesterday with Netflix when you announced the Ubisoft Splinter Cell thing. And I was like, yeah. Ooh, maybe we'll get more Splinter Cell today. And then you broke my heart. So thanks for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, next up, they showed Rocksmith. There was some updates on the Rocksmith. And Brian, you played Rocksmith, didn't you?
These are all the things I used to play Rocksmith with. Over my shoulder. They're guitars for the listeners. But anyway, yeah, it looks like they're doing a subscription service instead of like a standalone game this time around, which will likely have some pros and cons. Like right now, like the one that I use is Rocksmith 2014 Remastered, which was the one that they re-released, I think, in 2016 back onto Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And now, of course, it's backwards compatible on Xbox Series X. So I play it on that. And that's how I have been kind of relearning guitar over the course of the pandemic when I have all this extra time and I can't really go anywhere. So, right now the way it works is you buy the product, just like an old Guitar Hero game. You would buy the game, it would come with a set of like 60 songs, and then you can buy individual DLC songs or packs a la carte. And the way it seems it's going to work now, it's called Rocksmith Plus. It seems like it's going to be a subscription service, and they're going to have like a bunch of songs they launch with, and then over time they're going to start adding more songs, I would presume, free of charge.
They said weekly they're going to be adding more stuff. So, and oh, they didn't, I don't think they said any additional price for those. Currently, it is going to be about $15 a month and $99 for a year. I think there's a bundle in between that as well, but.
That is a lot less appealing to me than just being able to buy one product and then choose the songs post-launch that I want to add to my library, which is what I do now. Because, like, I don't know, I love the idea of them putting new songs out there, but, like, I have so many subscription services that I pay for every single month. Like, it's more than, like, $150 per month if I had to guess, like, all the subscription services that I pay for. I don't want another $15 a month one. And then if, like, you know, I've gone maybe a month since I've played Rocksmith on my Xbox. I still have to pay for it if I don't use Rocksmith Plus, whereas now it's like, all right, my guitars may collect a little dust, but, like, I'm not wasting any money. And I got Rocksmith 2014 Remastered, I think, for, like, $6 on sale. So it's like $15 for 1 month is already more expensive than I paid for this. So
yeah,
I don't know how I feel about that.
It definitely seems like it's a service for, I don't want to say hardcore musicians, but people who are really into it, you know,
active users.
Yeah, active users is a good way to put it. Where people like me, who I've dabbled, I've always been excited to try to learn guitar and sort of, you know, half-assed it.
Same.
I'm not going to subscribe to a service for this. But people who, it seems like there are musicians out there with like who do paid gigs who like use Rocksmith regularly just to kind of bone up on their skills, is my understanding.
There are some cool things that they're adding to this. Like there's a new tablature mode, which, you know, it just gives you like the traditional, if you're used to learning songs or learning how to play songs via tablature on like online or through other like methods, you can now view it in that view, in addition to the note highway that has always had the notes coming towards you, like Guitar Hero style. And there's also like a community focused thing where like you can actually connect with other people and like questions, and they'll give you like presumably they can like record video tutorials for you and stuff like that of how to play a song. So they are adding some meaningful ways to like improve upon the formula, but yeah, like $15 a month is it's a tall ask for somebody who likes to play it, but not maybe every single month.
What's kind of your ideal price for that, do you think? Thinking like five?
I mean, it's tricky because like they're licensing music, which is super expensive. Yep. Just ask anybody who has, you know, worked on Guitar Hero or Rock Band. Like that's always the expensive part of these games is licensing popular music. And so I can't imagine it being like operational at a lower price. But like the thing is like I don't want to flush money down the toilet if I get busy one month and can't play. And it's like, oh, well, I already spent $15 this month anyway.
It'd be cool if they did like a a la carte option as well. Like if you just want to like buy a song per book or whatever.
Without a
subscription. Yeah. And you get access to that specific song, but none of the other ones. Yeah. So you'd either need to do the subscription for everything or, you know, buy each song separately. I think I'd be more interested in that as somebody who's a casual user, player, whatever.
Plus, I might
throw a buck or two at it just to like learn a song.
Yeah, so
another feature they're doing is they're adding the ability to have your phone act as a microphone. So if you don't have like a microphone or like one of their proprietary cables, you can just sit your phone on your lap next to your guitar and play, and it'll pick up your playing.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, because like even the TrueTone cable that I use on Rocksmith 2014 Remastered is not the most accurate thing. Like certain frets on my guitar, no matter which guitar I'm using, just don't get picked up very accurately.
Yeah, my phone can't even recognize when I'm trying to text my sister. So how can I trust it to recognize a guitar?
I will say I'll use, because I've been playing guitar for a while, and I can use it. I can use my phone to tune my guitar, but that's individual notes. But when, like Shay said, like when you start like doing actual chords, that's when it's just like it's a muddled mess, at least for the phone.
Yeah, and then I can't imagine the phone being hyper accurate, but I mean, I'm sure it's adequate. Cause I've used tuner apps on my phone as well, and they've been perfectly fine.
Yeah.
We got a couple other updates from the Ubisoft press conference. We can just fly through some of this. But the news, they showed off Riders Republic, which is that cool, I guess it's a racing game is the closest thing to call it, right?
Yeah. It's like extreme sports, almost like a summertime spiritual successor to Steep, if you remember that, where it's like you can ride bikes, you can jetpack through the world, like do whatever. Like they're taking like the more simulation based Steep and
turning it for mountains.
The crew for mountains. For mountain biking enthusiasts. Yeah, but you can use like hang gliders, mountain bikes, whatever.
Yep.
I wasn't excited for this game necessarily. I thought this showing of it looked a little bit cooler. What about you guys?
I'm right there with you. Yeah. I mean,
people actually, nodding their head. Yeah.
Yeah. We're nodding our heads for audio listeners. Yeah. No, actually, I've been excited for Riders Republic since I saw it earlier. I wasn't sure if it was going to light the world on fire, but I was interested in it. And yeah, I thought this showing was better than previous showings, honestly. And it kind of showcased more of the social aspects. Like we've seen the highlight reels of, you know, all the people racing. We get it. But like, apparently this is an MMO. So show me what that interaction looks like. And they kind of showed off like the hub area where people were walking around off of their bikes and stuff, just kind of interacting and having fun. It seems like it's going to be a kind of like what Knockout City has been for me, like just a chill, like, I don't want to play something serious. I just want to get on a track and, you know, ride down a hill on a mountain bike. It's going to be a cool, I think, weekend game. You know what I mean? At least for me personally. So I'm stoked on it.
And it's also, a new year. That means it's a time for a new Just Dance. Ubisoft. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed with how long that series has been going on. But
it's not leaving the Wii. I think that up until last year,
is this the first time? This is the first time they haven't been on the Wii.
It was either this year or last year was the first time that they left the Wii behind. Like it's wild how they're still supporting that console.
That's crazy impressive. Yeah, I'll admit something. Just Dance is kind of fun.
It is fun.
Yeah,
it is fun.
It's a good just party game. You have people over, dance around.
I bought Just Dance 2020 3 months ago, just to get some exercise in because I didn't have access to a gym at that point. And it was fun. Yeah. Did it on Switch.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like nearly as precise as you do for something like a Dance Central or any other dance simulator. Dance Dance Revolution really isn't a dance simulator, but like that has very specific things that you need to do. And
yeah,
I always find myself having a great time whenever I. It's very rarely, but whenever I fire up Just Dance, it's good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Get the heart rate going.
Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a way to import some of those songs into Rocksmith Plus. I don't know. Is there a way to team that?
Dance Smith.
Maybe just set your phone next to Just Dance and let it record. And
perfect.
Hey, you're doing great. Flawless.
Upload it to Twitter and show the world your moves.
Yep.
TikTok.
So yeah, new Just Dance coming, everybody. Be excited. Then Ooh. Ubisoft showed off the Assassin's Creed Valhalla expansion. They're going to France, everybody.
Nice.
That's kind of the news.
Wii. They sure are.
No, they're not supporting the Wii anymore with Assassin's Creed, unfortunately. Excuse me. Yeah. But yeah, it's you guys been keeping up with the Ubisoft Valhalla? That game had so much content, it was hard to finish everything the base game, let alone the DLC that's already out.
Yeah, I haven't finished an Assassin's Creed game since 2. I really enjoyed 1 and 2, and then it just kept getting crazier and crazier, and I tried to jump back in on, I think I jumped in on Odyssey a little bit, and I'm just like, I'm just kind of bouncing off of it. And so I've kind of like, I respect them, and I know a lot of people have fun with them, and that's awesome. Just not necessarily for me, you know?
Yeah, for sure. But if it is for you, because that game
you're getting more
good
stuff.
Yeah.
We have a write-up online about it if you want to check out what's on going on there. They also showed off Far Cry 6. They had a trailer for the villains. For multiple villains. For one, they had Far Cry 6. They showed off villain Carlos Esposito, who's the main villain for this one. What's his name in the game? Do you guys remember?
Anton?
Oh, what did I say?
Carlos. Giancarlo.
Giancarlo.
Anton, I think is his name.
Yeah, I think it's Anton.
Oh, okay. Yep. That's why I got confused.
But
yeah, so
just a menacing dude.
Yeah.
Is his name actually Anton in the game?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, wow, at least there's a reason I said
I don't know, Anton, maybe.
Might be. But yeah, he's a great actor, and that was, you know, he did a great performance. So that's up. But then they also announced a season pack pass where you can play as pretty much all of the villains throughout Ubisoft history, you know, starting with Voss from Far Cry 3. They have him. They have
Pagan Min.
I can't remember all their names. I think Anton. One of them's named Anton, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, Ra's al Ghul. Perfect. Yeah, I mean, why
Pagan
not?
Min, that's the one.
Yeah.
Pagan Min, and then Joseph Seed is the one from Far Cry 5.
That's the one I couldn't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're all coming Far Cry in season 1? Pass.
I think it was just those three from 3, 4, and 5.
Fair.
Those were the
Fair
ones
enough.
You could play as.
Those are definitely the notable villains for sure. And it also comes bundled with Blood Diamond. I'm
Blood Dragon.
Blood Dragon. Question.
It's been a long day.
Different vibe.
Do we know
altogether?
What this thing is? Like, all I know is it was like Season Pass, Voss, Pagan Min, Joseph Seed, and Blood Dragon. And then it just ended. I was like, what
this
is it
like
though?
Origin stories that you're playing through of them, like how they like became the villains that they were in the games that you played against them.
I thought maybe they were like stuck in hell or something. It was weird.
That's what seems like. Seems like they're hallucinating or something.
Yeah, very weird.
All right. Then guess what happened after that, guys? Ubisoft announced the biggest game of the show. Probably the biggest game of E3, honestly. I'm just going to go out on a limb. It happened. Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope.
Let's go.
Yeah. This was unfortunately kind of leaked out earlier. I wish it had just been fresh, like, oh, holy crap, this is happening.
That would have been a big surprise.
Yeah, that would have been an awesome surprise. But it's still a really cool announcement, and the game looks really cool. It's fun to see it in action. Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle came out a couple years ago. I want to say 2017. Yeah.
It was launch year.
And I love that game a lot, actually.
It's awesome.
It's a fun XCOM-style strategy game. If you're at all into that, definitely worth checking out. And this new one, I mean, I'm going to say it looks better.
It does.
Because, sure. You know, that's what sequels do. They make things better, right?
No, but yeah, they've changed up the traversal, right, Ben? a little bit.
They changed up. I wanted them to talk more about that. Yeah, because it definitely looks like they're changing up the traversal. Like, it looks like you're still. It looks like they got rid of the grid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're using like a circular radius around you.
Yeah, there was another game that recently did that that I can't remember the name of. But there's definitely like you'll walk a certain distance and then do your attacks. What I'm hoping for is that you still have the opportunity to chain attacks. That's what the last game did really well. Yep. Is you would like chain an attack and then hit this enemy. And like if you performed your moves right, you could get the ability to do additional attacks, or you could end up like hitting five different people in one go if you were setting up your moves correctly. So that was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it. The other cool thing is they're going across the universe now. So Mario has a spaceship. He's flying across the universe. Mm-hmm. He has new rabid friends. There's a rabid Rosalina now.
Yep. Rabid Lumas. It seems like, you know, Galaxy is a bigger influence on this one, which is cool, you know?
Luigi has some kind of laser bow and arrow.
Yeah, Luigi is Legolas now, and I'm here for it. I'm excited.
Luigi-las. Yeah, so I'm a big fan. If you at all like strategy games, definitely check this one out. Mm-hmm. Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope. Hopefully it's coming out soon. I think they said early
2022
next year.
For that.
Yeah, 2022. Yeah.
I feel like that'd be a good spring or summer title for them.
Yeah. And then they closed out the show with what could be bigger than Avatar. Remember that giant mega franchise?
$1 billion in the box office.
Not The Last Airbender, to be clear. This is James Cameron's Avatar. Which is one of the biggest movie franchises in history, surprisingly. Yeah. But this is Frontiers of Pandora, which Ubisoft announced a few years ago, I think. And they finally showed it off. It looks good. Did you guys have any impressions on that?
I think it doesn't look like the typical open world that they do. I think at least art-wise, it looks like they're staying pretty... It looks enough like the Avatar movie. It doesn't look like Assassin's Creed. It doesn't look quite like, I guess it wouldn't look like Watch Dogs because that's a more modern or like current take on the world. But
I'd take that though if you could hack pterodactyls so that they would fly in and hit their.
Well,
planes.
I mean, technically, isn't that what they do in Avatar with like their braids?
That's true.
It's like. Hack horses. Hack
that's what they use for telephones, I think. That's how they call people up.
Mm-hmm.
is anybody here an Avatar fan?
No, no.
Let's just get that out of the way. I mean, is anybody in the world an Avatar fan at this point?
I don't care Cameron? Whatsoever. Yeah, James, that's a great pick. James Cameron, number one fan of Avatar. I don't care about Avatar at all. But, you know, I'm happy for people who are interested, for sure. I don't mean to be a hater.
They've announced like 8 movies that are coming out. Eventually, so
insane. Here's the thing. I remember watching the first Avatar movie and I remember enjoying it. I've been to Disney World and rode the Avatar ride and I'm like, that's a really cool ride. I like Avatar things, but I'm not enthusiastic about that property. So if the game's great, I'll play it.
Put rabbits in it.
But I'm not enthusiastic about playing it just because it's Avatar. Yeah.
I'm curious though, like it seemed like they kept like going to like first person camera views. I wasn't sure if that was intentional. Obviously it's intentional, but does that point to it's a first person game, or do you guys think it's gonna be third person?
According to the Ubisoft store, it is a first person game.
Okay. Oh.
It's gonna be like Far Cry Primal.
Yeah, that's curious.
Hmm. It's by the company that does The Division, Ubisoft Massive.
Oh. Okay. That makes
Using the Snowdrop engine, which is also developed originally for The Division. So
probably why that doesn't look like other Ubisoft games. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange breed.
It is, yeah. If you were like, oh, from the developers of The Division and The Division 2, here is
Avatar?
Yeah, that's what Ubisoft chose to close the show out with.
I'm just mad. Like, oh, the Splinter Cell Netflix thing... Why would you? Oh, yeah, I'm with you, Ben. We needed. I thought like it was like one more thing. I was like, oh, it's happening. We're gonna get Splinter Cell and the Snowdrop engine.
Here Ubisoft is
anime.
They're just trolling us at this point.
Yeah,
they're like, what else can we do with Sam Fisher and the Splinter Cell franchise except for make a new game?
Also, we didn't get the Star Wars game that Ubisoft Massive is working on, allegedly.
Right. I mean, yeah. They just announced that they had that property like last year, right?
Avatar is a Star Wars.
So it's probably a little early to show that off, but that would be great to see that. You're right.
Just one more thing. Oh, yeah, that awesome property. You may have heard of another film property that we acquired the rights to. Roll the tape.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Han, Darth Maul.
Well, that's basically a recap of the day. There's some cool things. I think, you know, like always, you kind of get overhyped for things and you're like, oh, mm-hmm. I want this. Mm-hmm. But I got to see a new Mario plus Rabbids game. So I'm set. Like, it was a success for me, at least. I'll say that. But for I'd love to go around the room. What were the highs and lows or biggest takeaways from the day? Anything major that we missed that you guys were excited to talk about? Alex, you want to go first?
Yeah, it wasn't from today, but it was from the other day at the Summer Game Fest. We got a release date for Sable. That is coming September 23rd. I am very excited for that game to finally come out. And that's probably honestly one of my biggest highlights of the show. We talked about already, but Elden Ring. I'm not a huge Souls guy, but that game has me intrigued quite a bit. And then from today's showcase, honestly, I'm with you, Ben, on Mario Rabbids. Also, Riders Republic. I'm very intrigued, you know, to see what that game becomes. It could either be, you know, good or, you know, it could fall, you know, the way that Steep did. But we'll see.
Sure. Ryan, what about you?
I think Riders Republic does look really cool. Like, I think it looks like a ton of fun. I would also say that Far Cry 6, not only do I just love Giancarlo Esposito in that role.
Anton Esposito.
Oh, yeah. Anton Esposito. but also, the season pass just looks bonkers, and I am totally on board for it.
Cool. What about you, John?
Yeah. I'm firmly in the Mario plus Rabbids was the best announcement of the day. But I'm also into what they were showing off with Rainbow Six. From what we were discussing before, I think that's kind of a perfect jumping on point for people like me. Mm-hmm. And bringing it into a more sci-fi bend of it seems super cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight two other things that were announced earlier this week, but I was excited for. Jurassic World Evolution 2. I was a big fan of the first one. Largely because it's a Jurassic Park game, to be honest. It wasn't like an amazing park builder, but I enjoyed it just because, you know, dinosaurs and stuff. So I'm curious to see what they're doing with the second one. And then the other one, Metal Slug.
Oh my gosh. I forgot about this.
Yeah, I'm not even a huge Metal Slug guy. I've enjoyed a few of them, but this looks like the perfect combination of Metal Slug art, which looks really good, and like a Final Fantasy Tactics style game. It looks rad. So if you do yourself a favor and go look at that trailer.
Yeah. Also, Two Point Campus looks really cool. If you like Two Point Hospital, it seems like they've learned a lot of lessons from that launch state that game was in. They released, I think, like 20 free updates to Two Point Hospital. So like they've learned a lot, and they're building on top of that with like a thing that allows you to just create like a university, like an entire campus. And then I also would say that Tiny Tina's Wonderlands also looks pretty cool.
For sure. Well, thanks everyone out there for sticking around with us. This quick and dirty little thing we got going. It's a bit of a rough ride, but I think
E3.
We made it through.
That's what it's all about.
It's E3. We've had long days. We're planning on doing this for every day of the show. So come back tomorrow. I think the big thing tomorrow is the Microsoft press conference. So we'll break that one down for you. Thanks for watching and listening to this episode of the GI Show. And have a great E3, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
See you.